Now, I wish I could have got up here and preached a message about going home to be with God, or talking about how blessed you can be by getting in the Holy Ghost. And I wish I could tell you of the 10 steps that you need to take to make this work. But there's only one way. There's only one way. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the door. He is the way in. How do we knock? It's by prayer. And as we pray, He will convict and knock on our heart's door. And He will open up and cause answers to come your way. Amen. You know, a lot of people, you know, they come to church and they hear the word and they say, well, man, that just wasn't for me at all. And I don't even know what that preacher was thinking. But I have to ask you, what was it that you prayed all week long for? Chances are, if you weren't praying for an answer, then you probably did not find something in that message. In fact, it probably bored you and you said, man, I'm ready to get out of here. I don't know what this guy's even thinking. But sometimes if we're not praying for confirmation, then when we hear the word, we interpret the word alone as our answer, and sometimes we'll cause ourselves to fall. But understand the purpose of the word of God. It is to cause you to go to action. The word says to cause them to move, cause them to do something. I'm not preaching to give you an answer. I'm causing you to search. I'm causing you to seek. Don't look for me to have your answers. You have got to look for what God speaks as confirmation. But if we do not pray, then we are confused and don't know the way. The word says that we only know the will of God.
Through the Spirit. If you do not pray, you see, there's a difference in the Spirit that you get through prayer and the Spirit you get through worship.
Yes.
The Spirit that you get through worship, there's specific terms that you can refer to. There's even terms that you can do. The Spirit that you get through worship is a spirit of brokenness. But when you pray, totally different kind of spirit. So don't wait Sunday for Sunday just to get that spirit stirred in you.
Yeah.
Pray, keep it stirred.
Amen.
And let that spirit give you strength. Every time I pray, there's not been a time where God has not given me peace. Not a time, but I pray sincerely that God is going to move.
That's right.
Some of us are afraid just to open our mouth. Oh, but just come on, somebody, just you and me tonight, say hello. Oh, it's just as easy as opening up and giving God praise. And some of us just need to know how easy it is to open up our lips and how hard that it feels to talk to God about our problems. Oh, we wouldn't need therapy. We wouldn't need somebody to counsel us. We wouldn't need anybody to try to tell us which way to go. You wouldn't have to lean on man at all. I know that I went to therapy as a teenager, and I feel like it helped me in some ways, and some ways it didn't. But had I just listened to what God was putting in my life when I was younger, I know that I would have had an easier way to go. And we can go our lives without listening to the counsel of God. But the way of a transgressor is hard. The way that we transgress is to know the way that we can understand it. Choose not to use it.
Amen.
See, technically, if we wanted to preach it like this, we could say, you already have it.
Yeah.
Yet we choose not to receive it.
That's true.
That's true.
That's powerful right there.
That's the truth.
Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe it in your heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as we receive it spiritually, then we shall have it.
Yes.
What was the one thing that Jesus ministered about more than anything else? Primarily prayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was teaching. Even the disciples had to figure out, how do we pray effectually?
Yeah.
So if you admire Paul and you admire Peter and you admire John and those messages inspired you, they were praying people.
Yes, they were.
They had to be taught how to pray.
Yes.
I'm just beginning to learn. I'm just beginning to understand how easy it is just to open up to God.
Yeah.
Take my troubles. Take my burdens.
Yes.
I leave them in your hands.
Yes.
Lord, lead me that I may help someone else.
Yes.
Amen. God, touch them that their lives be changed.
Glory.
I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I'm saying God sees your concern.
Yeah.
And He sent you confirmation.
Amen.
For those of you that's been praying. sense your confirmation. He's reminding you to keep praying, to be diligent in your prayers before Him. And you will, I feel that sense, you will see things begin to move. It's not something that God withholds from any man or woman to begin to pray faithfully. God has never withheld a thing from somebody that did not already ask for it.
Amen.
He will save our children. Yes. He will heal their lives. Yes. He'll save our loved ones.
Yes.
He took them from a pit that I couldn't climb out of. And caused me to be a man of God.
Yes.
Not just because somebody worshiped God in song, but because somebody prayed.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think my brother's standing here today just because we were not stewards. Somebody had to pray.
Yes.
I don't think that I'm standing here.
There was a couple fellers that were down in prison. I could keep going, or what? We can stop. What do you want to do? You want to keep going? There were a couple guys that were in prison. I don't know about you, but if they changed my garments, put me in the black and whites, and cuffed me up, I wouldn't have very much hope. But they begin to call out to God in prison. Did you know that most of the books that you read in the New Testament were wrote in prison? It wasn't some guy that had some gold ordained room, but he sat upon with a golden pen and wrote the wonderful book. He was in prison. He was in a hard place, but he was in a place where he had access to God. You can still reach the courtroom of God. You can still reach the courtroom of grace. He said to come on. Where is the boldness in the church of God?
Where is the boldness in the church of God? It's absent, for we do not pray. It is lost. Oh, if you were praying like you should be praying, then you'd be in here dancing before the Lord. But let me tell you where some of us are. We're unhappy. We complain. We're in prison. And we're looking at the shackles and saying, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I've got to go through this. But there was a couple of men in prison that called out and they believed. There was a blind man at the gate talking about having to not walk by sight. No better way to do it than blind, I guess. There was a blind man at the gate, and all that he had was just the knowledge. Somebody heard that Jesus was coming. Probably many preachers passed that man by in the Bible. Could have told him how to pray. And he probably could have had his sight restored any other way. But what a teaching experience this is to read that all he did was open up faith, believing Jesus. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You might feel like you're blind in what you're going through, but if you just know that Jesus is coming by, then you can call out just as he did and say, Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of David, help me. Help me change my life and work it for my good. There was a man that he was of high esteem. He was a nobleman, as the Bible said. You can read it in the book of John. And he needed his child healed, but nothing of his title and esteem healed that child. But he went forth and asked Jesus if he would move. And Jesus not only healed that child, he healed him in the very moment when that man and Jesus were together. The child was already so far off, he wasn't even where the child was.
the man returns back to where? And the servants are coming to him. They couldn't even wait for him to get back. They go to him and say, "Nobleman, you've got to know that something took place. Something happened because you went out and asked for healing." And the nobleman, in his curiosity, asked those servants, "Well, what hour of the day was this when it took place?" There wasn't a delay on the healing when he went to ask Christ. And that child was healed in the selfsame hour that he asked Christ for it. So the whole journey back should be where we are as a church today. We should come in boldly and say, "God, you take control of these things. And God, I'm going to go ahead and march on back to my house knowing." So for some of you tonight that's prayed and let God move for you, return into your house expecting good things. If we do not lead a positive life, it will be negative. You can only serve two masters. You can serve a way that is unto life, or you can serve a way that will bring you unto death. There is only two ways that we can go. We have one way to the one way. Isn't that funny how that works? We've got one way to the one way. There is one way to reach the way that leads unto life. Jesus, knowing that man would not be able to carry on the gospel and the ministry of the gospel on their own, begin to minister to them about something that would change prayer as we know it. He told them, he said, "You know, I'm going to be going away soon. And I will be departing from you soon. But there will be something following me that will come and comfort you." There was a day that came when there was a group of people that gathered in an upper room. Bible doesn't give any recollection to most of the names that were in that place. I've tried to see it in my spirit what that room looked like and tried to imagine what they had on, or just, you know, because I'm thinking, if we can just get to that place where they were. But you know what? We can. There was a moment where they came together in agreement. How did they come together in agreement? They began to pray. They received an instruction to tarry here, and you will be endued with power from on high. So they began to pray. And that moment that took place changed prayer and the power that man had over the enemy as we know it today. That same prayer that they received on the day of Pentecost, that same power that God endued upon them, has carried forth from generation to generation. Because let me ask you this, if you think that they had all that they needed and it was for them, how do you think that we're supposed to survive today? Best that I know, I've still got problems like they had problems. So I know that spirit wasn't just for some people back in the Bible. It is for my life. It is for my well-being. It is for the well-being of others around me. I don't know who I'm reaching out to right now, but we have the ability to pray greater through the Holy Ghost. Now, I've prayed in words before, and just as an example, God, this is something I've prayed before. "God, you see the difficulty I'm facing at my job, and you see everything that I'm going through, and God, I ask that you begin to move in it, and I believe that you will. I really meant it with all that was in me." But then something happened. Something stirred from within me, and I knew that there was more to be said, and God really showed me. You see, the Holy Ghost had moved in my prayer, and I began to communicate in a prayer language that only God understands. It is a way that you communicate to God. I know that if my wife really wants me to understand something, she tells it to me on my level. She just tells me in her own way. I understand it too. Very easy to understand when it's communicated on a level that you mean it. Very humble level. Our conversations can be very easy when we love each other and are humble. And that's the same way it can be in prayer for your life. As the Holy Ghost moves and the Spirit of God moves upon you, I don't care how old you are in here, the Spirit of God moves upon you, you can communicate to God in a language that only God understands. So when your words fail you, because let me tell you, if I prayed that prayer about my job every day, I would be so burnt out on saying that prayer, I would not look forward to it. I would be so burnt out on praying because I realize it's not in what I'm saying. It's what comes from here. It says, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. So that which God puts in me, when people preach, that which I get from humbleness in my worship, then I have what I need when I pray. I'm here to tell you that if you think you're not receiving a good word at your church, you're wrong. God has communicated to so many different spectrums of needs here. So the one thing I've realized, and worship's wonderful too. Sometimes the singers and musicians get discouraged, and I just keep telling them, it's not on how you see it. Keep on walking. Worship's wonderful here. So the one area that we must examine and look at ourselves and say, what can I change? Is obviously prayer. That's an easy sermon. That's something you can remember. It's something not to feel bad about. And I don't care if you're, you know, before a job interview or about to go face something difficult with somebody, or you've got to make a tough phone call. You can pray and God can move. I'm glad that God is a right now God. I've told this story before, but when God delivered me from my depression, I was in a car. I don't know why I remember the car. It was 1994 Toyota Camry. That's irrelevant. Useless information. You can take that with you. But I was in my little Camry and I was going down the road. And I was so depressed. I couldn't love my wife like I needed to. And I couldn't even love myself. And I'd reached a very lonely place. Stopped talking to anybody about it. Stopped telling anybody that I was bothered and was just ready to try to find a way out, if you'd understand where I'm coming from. And I remember driving by what used to be Wesla Follett School, which is where my sister's business is now. And I was going by that road. And I remember driving around the curve and I just started slowing down and getting to the side of the sidewalk. And I remember tears were going down my face and I said, God, help me. I can't do this anymore. And I never felt more of a deliverance than when I did in that moment. And I hold a lot of people in high esteem that pray around me. But I'm glad that when I was alone, that God was there with me. So for some of you that are battling these depressions and oppressions, He'll answer your prayer in the car. And He'll answer your prayer in your office. And He'll answer your prayer even if you have to shut the door and steal away from somebody that's yelling at you. He'll answer that prayer no matter where you are on your job. You could be in the hospital. You could be in a tough place in your life. You could have just heard the worst news of your life and still find the peace of God. I tried to turn loose 25 minutes ago, but God's still moving in me. My ministry doors. It's not because that I went to a good church. It's not because I could play music, but somebody prayed for me. Do you understand? Jesus was not prepared for the cross until He went through the wilderness. And He prayed to be prepared, Daryl. He would have never finished His race had He not prayed for strength. And you can see man in his typical way when Jesus was at the garden looking for somebody that would pray. But they were so tired from already going through everything with Him. They fell over on some rocks. Now, I don't know if you've been tired before, but to be tired enough to sleep in the middle of some rocks, you have got to be tired. And those disciples were so tired that they fell over and fell asleep. But do you not see man in that? Where Jesus was saying, could you not even go for an hour? We spend, I know you can read the averages. It used to be just like half an hour a day, but the average consumption of smartphones is not even just an hour a day, 2 hours a day. It's over 3 hours a day. It's overwhelming our lives. Just count how many times you pick your phone up tomorrow. And you come back and tell me how ridiculous you think that it is too. Yet we can't steal away 1 hour of time just to clear our mind, just to let our heart be lifted. Man, I'm telling you tonight, God sent this for some people in here. He wants to tell you three things, and now get out of the way. The first thing is to not base it on what you see with your eyes, for we pray by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. The second thing that God wants to speak to you tonight is that you must learn to bring prayer into your character. I'm trying to remember how this goes, but it says, doing something in repetition produces a habit, and repetition of a habit produces character. So if you do something enough, it becomes who you are. If you complain all the time, people are going to know you by complaining. If you see somebody that smokes, you expect them to be out getting their cigarette in the morning. It's part of their character. But if you see a church that's praying, you see, God wants us to make it a habit so that it becomes a part of who we are. That like Arlie said last week, that we don't use God like a spare tire. That we don't just pray when we're in trouble, but that we begin to let prayer perform maintenance within us. It's so important to remember that. And finally, the third thing God wants you to know tonight is that no matter where you are or what circumstance you're in, just like when He answered my wife's prayer for me, and like He answered my prayer driving down the road, that He is nigh, say nigh, He is nigh unto those that will draw nigh. To say nigh is to say close. He is close. Just like you hear my voice, He's closer than that to you. When you draw close to Him, He is close to you. And God didn't just leave it at letting us know He was close. He went as far as to speak through His servants that He said that He would be closer than a brother. Closer than blood line. And I love my sister, and I would do anything for her. But I know that there's been some times that we couldn't be there for each other. But how many of us knows that God was there for both of us? And you may feel like that you've been going through some rough places. But God is giving you confirmation tonight. It's through your prayers you're going to win. It's through your prayers you're going to come back to worship and enjoy it. It's through prayers you're going to do a new thing for your wife, your husband. Surprise and break out of the box. Do something new. It's through your prayers that you're going to restore things that may feel broken into your life. It's through prayers that you'll be able to pray that God will send somebody to those that need it. I'll tell you this much. If you stay before God and pray that God will send somebody to those you pray for, He will. It might not be in our time, but He'll move. The people I see before me now, Doris, we're a totally different church than what we used to be. Derek, there used to be a totally different group of people here that came here. Totally different group of musicians. It was a totally different environment. The worship was different. It was more camp meeting style, and we worked more in the altar, and things were a lot more spontaneous. It was a totally different place. But you know, Renee, even through all the years that we've been here, has God not been the same? Every time that we ever need Him, He has not changed. And even with the wonderful people I see here tonight, He will not change for you. Are you blessed?